All right, so Pastor Justin Morrell is with us. He is from New Culture Church on the West End, Steuben Street, if you're familiar. So we're excited to have him. He's been with New Culture Church for 4 years, correct? This fall, four years, so that's exciting. We celebrate that, but been in ministry over 20 years. We don't want to date you, right? So, but just in ministry over 20 years, and he's going to bring the prophetic ministry today. He's going to explain that a little bit for you, just so that you understand what the prophetic is. But we're excited that he's here and that he's going to walk in his gifting that God's given him. Amen. And we're excited about that. And let's reach our hands out to him. Let's just pray a blessing over him. Lord God, we thank you for Pastor Justin, Lord God, and we thank you that he is here today with us, Lord God. Lord, we pray that you would guide his words, Lord God, that you would give him the words to speak to each and every person, Lord God, that you put in front of him, Lord God, that he would have encouragement to bring to them, Lord God, that there would be clarity through these words, Lord God. Lord, that we would take these words and that we would apply them, not only knowing what you can do through these words, but what we need to do through these words, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray a blessing and favor upon Pastor Justin in his ministry and his family, Lord God. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? All right. Let's get here for the worship team. That was awesome. I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit showed up. He's still here. And it makes my job easier when the atmosphere is set. So let me just pray. I know we just prayed, but let's just pray real quick. Father, we thank you for who you are. We ask, God, that your kingdom would come and your will be done in our lives today. Father, I thank you so much for this amazing ministry, for this amazing campus. I thank you for this amazing network of churches. Lord, I ask, God, that you would use me, God, to bless your people, God, that it's not about me, but it's all about you, that people would be edified, which means to be built up, that it would be encouraged, and there would be comfort in their life. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody says, amen. Well, hey, as Doug mentioned, my name is Justin, and I am the lead pastor of New Culture Church, and we will be 4 years old October 20th this upcoming fall. So before I dive into this, I just want to introduce my family, show you some things real quick. So if I can get my kids up there on the screen. So these are my, yes. You already love me. Pray for me. But these are my twin daughters. So the one that's closest to us with her mouth open, that's Alexandria. And the one that's holding her hand, that's Athena. And God is awesome. They're 3 years old, 3.5 years old in a couple weeks. So it's pretty cool. And if you're wondering why those kids are so cute and how they came after out of this, I want to show you my wife real quick. All right, that's my wife, okay? Look at somebody and say, chemistry works, all right? That was the goal. She's just as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. But that's my wife, Candace. So she's my partner. We founded New Culture Church together. But I am here on assignment. I'm going to be prophesying and doing some prophetic ministry. I want to teach on it a little bit. There's some notes that we're going to use for the house. And then we're going to do some stuff here tonight. And then we're going to do some stuff at the Braddock campus. And I've ministered at the Braddock campus before. I know Pastor John Schaefer. He's pretty awesome. And this is just a great ministry. So I want to just demystify some stuff. If I can get the scripture reference up on the board, the first slide there that we have from the house. But so this is what prophecy is. So it says, this is scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. And this is from Pastor Rick. And I just want to honor Pastor Rick and Pastor Gary and the rest of the Bridge City leadership for giving me this opportunity. Listen, this isn't on the notes, but prophetic ministry is a very interesting type of ministry, okay? It is a ministry where you get the good, the bad, the ugly, the weird, just a whole bunch of stuff, right? And my goal today is to just minister to you and help demystify some things and different things like that. I don't really have my bio up, but I'll just give you a little bit of context of who I am. I've been in ministry for 20 plus years. I know you're like, how old are you, okay? I'm actually 38 years old. God got me when I was young, okay? I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm from a place called Wilkinsburg. And in 1999, I was in my bedroom listening to a Prince album. Listening to 1999, and he says, 2000 party's over, oops, out of time. I see some of you nodding your heads. And the thought occurred to me, I said, well, like, why is the party over, okay? And there was this marketing campaign. This was before social media, but there was this marketing movement called Y2K Judgment Day. Some of you, some of the young folks is like, what's that, all right? well, this is the first time in my life the world was going to end, okay? And I'm very competitive, so in my mind, I'm like, well, if the world's going to end, I need to be on the right side of this thing. So I decided to start going to church because I watched my grandmother go to church 8 days out of the week, 25 hours a day, right? And I was like, well, like, if the world's going to end, grandma figured it out. She had it right. So I need to just start going to church. So out of sheer self-preservation, not even because I love the Lord, okay, I started to go to church. And how many know at the spring of 2000 happened, we were still here, okay? We still have water and canned goods in my mom's basement, right, because the world was going to end. But a funny thing happened. Ultimately, I ended up in high school in Wilkinsburg, like the junior high and the senior high is in the same class, and I've always hung out with older people. So a guy who was older than me, I didn't know it at the time because he was a PK. That's why I'm praying about my daughters now. I'm like, oh, Jesus, please. But he was a PK. He was like, hey, man, there's this choir thing at church, and I'm really into music. He was like, you want to come and sing? I was like, yes, this is my opportunity to go to church. And I ended up going to church and singing in the choir, not really pursuing the Lord, seriously, right? 14, 15 years old, and then ultimately 2000, right, happened, and the spring happened, and the gospel message clicked, and Jesus just wrecked my life, right? So I did not have a career path to do this type of ministry. A little bit more about myself, I'm from Pittsburgh, I'm from Wilkinsburg specifically, but I actually sit on a leadership team of an organization called International Young Prophets. It's an international, it's stuff you cannot make up. And all you gotta do is just say yes to God, and it's been pretty cool. So if you're interested in prophetic ministry, the who's who of prophetic ministry, like Bishop Bill Hammond and James Gall and all those people, I get to hang out with them. And there is no career path for ministry, real ministry, right, when God puts a calling on your life. So I'm saying all that to say there's a distinction between the gift of prophecy that's mentioned here, and then there's also a distinction of the office of a prophet, okay? Now, this is a great church because we don't believe in what's called sensationalism, meaning that we believe the prophets died when the New Testament was canonized, okay? Just give you a little bit of context, right? You're also always supposed to teach and really set things up if you're going to do the ministry. But God has decided to set my life apart, not just as a pastor, but also as a New Testament prophet, where Ephesians 4 says that I am supposed to equip the body for the work of ministry, right? So if you want to know if somebody's a real prophet, okay, when they open their mouth and they teach and they begin to minister, are they equipping you to do the ministry? Are they equipping you to hear God's voice better? Are they equipping you? Are they demystifying? Are they helping you grow prophetically? Because if it's just up here and it's about them, right, and it's about the Houdini show, that's not really a prophet, that's an entertainer, okay? One of my mandates right now is I have to really go around, I've been doing this to really help clarify what this ministry looks like. All right, so gift of prophecy is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. This isn't in my notes, so Joe's like, where is he at? I'm just flowing right now. He's like, the gift of prophecy is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, okay? Now, there are some people who believe there are more than nine gifts. I'm not one of those people. Those nine gifts are good enough, okay? I got twins. I don't need anything extra, okay? All right? But it's a gift that's given to the believer. So who in here has named Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? Just wave your hand at me, okay? If not, we're going to make sure. Okay, who in here has been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Okay, so by default, you have access to the gift of prophecy. It's not an elitist gift, right? I'm going to prophesy over people, but the only difference between me and you is that I've done it really bad for a lot longer, and I actually got kind of good at it, okay? I've taken risk, okay? But that's a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, where we're talking about the office of the prophet, it says that Christ himself gave gifts to the church. I'm paraphrasing. You can fact check me, okay? Ephesians chapter 4. But it says he gave gifts to the church, some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as teachers, and some as pastors, okay? So the gift of prophecy is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. The gift of a prophet or the office is a gift given to the church by Jesus himself. Okay, I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't want to be a prophet. I'm being honest. But Jesus, in his all-knowing, all-omniscient, all-wonderful power, right, omnipotency, omniscience, right, omnipresence, before the foundations of the earth, as he said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's room, and I consecrated you. I set you apart as a prophet before the foundation. Jesus knew that I was going to be listening to a Prince album. Seriously. He knew that I was going to get myself in position to protect myself from going to hell. I thought I was not going to hell. I didn't know that I was coming into a lifestyle where the Lord would constantly be challenging me to separate myself and do all those different things. So listen, whenever you meet somebody, right, and they say that they're a prophet, there's two things you want to ask. So a couple things you want to ask. Number one, how are they equipping the body to do the work in the ministry? Number two, right, how have they received their calling? It's something you have to receive from Christ yourself, okay? Listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. Nobody from my church is here. We're not live streaming this. There are days I don't want to be a pastor. Okay? I'm just being honest, okay? If I could be honest. They notice about me, okay? But God said, hey, I want you to be a pastor, I want you to be a prophet, he set me apart. So what has happened in my life? And I'll share a little bit more about those stories a little bit later. But ultimately, what God has done is he's decided what my life is gonna be like. See, this is the thing about Christianity in today's society. We want Jesus to be our Savior, but we forget about the Lord part. He's our Lord and our Savior. Listen, I don't have time, but I've tried a lot of different things, and I've only been successful at a few of them. And ministry is it. I don't have to think about this, because the Lord said, this is what I want to do with your life. Now listen, this ain't for everybody, okay? We said yes to church planting. We're 4 years old. We found out we were expecting September before our launch. Okay, yes, January we found out we're having twins. Thank you, Jesus. My wife still let me go to Japan and minister, right? I come back and they say, you brought this thing called, they told me I brought COVID back to the States. Because COVID hit 6 months into our church plant with twins. And the board said I could take a salary in February, but that salary went bye-bye in March. How am I still alive? It's because the leading of God. And listen, I'm telling you something. You see us up here. You see worship people up here. You see pastors doing stuff. Pray for your pastors. Pray for people that are on the platform, because the hell we go through during the week is for your benefit, okay? So I set out to say, right, you need to know how they're equipping, how they're receiving, but then how have other people in their lives, mature men and women of God, acknowledged the call of God in their life? So I grew up really cut my teeth in a church called Covenant Church of Pittsburgh, where Bishop Joseph Garlington is the senior pastor. He recognizes the call of God on my life. Pastor Jeff Lee from Allison Park Church, he recognizes the gift of God, call on my life. Pastor Rick Paladin, other men who are more seasoned and women who are more seasoned have walked alongside of me and examined my life and seen my ministry and say, okay, yeah, you're really called. And actually all of them said to me, dude, you're an okay pastor, but you're a monster prophet. You are you sure you're fully functioning how God asked you? So it's an invitation from Christ and others around you. Does that make sense? Does that help somebody today? All right, let's get here to the notes real quick, because I got to pray for some people. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, New Living Translation says, but one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and brings comfort to them. So prophecy is designed to strengthen you, encourage you, and bring comfort. Paul also says that he wishes that we would all prophesy, because when we prophesy, it does this thing for the whole body. When you speak in tongues, that's just between you and the Lord. But he says that I wish that you would all prophesy, because when you do it, the whole body's gonna get blessed. So I'm gonna pray for some people and they're gonna get ministered to, but it's gonna be a blessing to you, because prophecy works really well in the local church. Because what happens is when God calls somebody out publicly or he speaks to them, you're gonna be able to hang out with them. Because see, I prophesy to your potential, but the pastors have to govern and steward your character. And the way you develop is in the midst of the group, right? So some money might get called to the nations. That don't mean you need to go to Pittsburgh International tomorrow. You might not be ready, right? Can I get the next one up, please? So it's a divine power and foretelling, right? It goes on to say, do not despise prophecy, but test everything, hold what is fast and is good. So don't despise it. So when you get this word, don't be like, he missed it. I barely miss it. I don't have time, but there was a time I prayed for somebody. A couple, they thought I missed it because they wanted to leave Pittsburgh, but God told them to stay put. So then they told their pastor that I was a false prophet. So the pastor says, well, let me hear the word. And they're like, oh, we deleted it. Meanwhile, next week he gets promoted on his job. Next week, she gets promoted. All of a sudden, they go from living in mom and dad's basement to getting the house they want. We don't know what God is doing. You do. Now, all of a sudden, they magically found the word and submitted it to their pastor, right? So don't scoff at it, because there are times where God speaks to your potential. Your current situation sometimes does not look like it's going to line up what God may or may not say to you, right? Or it might be the third or fourth time you've heard it. That's what prophetic ministry does. And listen, God does not try to tell you something. He tells you something. Your responsibility is to respond to it. I don't have time to preach this morning. I got to prophesy, right? But then you need to test it, right? And you need to hold fast to it. So listen, I'm going to pray for some people. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to not do anything. Unless it's like, you know, like if it's like something crazy, like you need to move out of that house, or you need to like, you know, if it's like a, you know, something that's, your life's in danger, do it, okay? Please, by all means, right? But like when you get these words today, whoever gets it, I want you to not do anything. Then I want you to listen to it outside of this moment, because how many emotions run high? You get a word, you're like, yes, I'm ready to serve Jesus. I'm quitting my job. I was like, no, don't do that. Jesus had a treasure for a reason. You don't have a treasure if you don't have money. This idea that Christ was broke is a fallacy, okay? Not rolling with 12 guys. You got to have money, okay? Don't do anything. Just listen to it and then record it. You can get your phones out and record it and then listen back to it in a moment and then transcribe it. Then you need to, you need to judge it. You need to say, this is God or not. Listen, I'm not one of the prophetic guys that's like, when I submit a word to you, because that's what I do, I submit words to you. I don't dictate your life. Listen, you're not gonna break my heart if I prophesy to you, you don't listen. I have 3-year-old toddlers, they don't listen. I'm ready, okay? But all jokes aside, I'm not the final authority. I'm just part of the authority that God wants to give you, okay? So then you need to listen to it, write it out. Then you need to check with some people that know you, specifically pastors and leaders and elders. And then you need to talk about how you can walk it out. Let's continue on here real quick. So you got all of that stuff. This is how you process it. Is it biblical? Everybody say, is it biblical? All right, repeat after me. Say, the Bible is right. And somebody's wrong. Let's say it again. Say, the Bible is right, and somebody's wrong. So when people tell me that prophetic ministry is not for today, I ask them to read the Bible, because you see it all up in there, specifically in the New Testament church. Are we a part of the New Testament church? Yes. So does that mean prophetic ministry in its form has stopped? No. It may have changed a little bit, the function, but God still wants this to be a ministry to the church. So you mean to tell me we're going to take 4 specific gifts of the gift of the Spirit that help us prophetically, we're just going to get rid of those 4 because you're not comfortable with it, or it doesn't check your theological box, or you had a bad experience? Come on. There's a reason why the Bible's canonized, okay? So the Bible is right and somebody is wrong. Does it confirm or affirm what's already been resonating in your heart and life? I will submit this to you. I don't have the metrics on this. I'm a data guy. You know, I like to watch ESPN when they do like the hard data stuff. But most prophetic words will already confirm something that's in your heart, whether you knew it consciously or subconsciously. Unless it's just something that the Lord really wants to challenge you. And if he does, that's why you have to have a process, okay? You got to have a process. Discern God's part and your part. I use this all the time when I teach this stuff. If the Lord calls you to the nations and you go to Pittsburgh International Airport and you don't have a passport, you know what nation you're going to? America. You will have a U.S. ministry, because you got to be practical. Everybody say practical. Did you know that one of the most spiritual things you can do is be practical? What do those in authority say? You will not be able to fully fulfill whatever God has asked you or called you to do in your lives unless you're in partnership with authority. See, I get to do this because I'm under Pastor Gary and Pastor Rick's authority. They have commissioned me to do this. Pastor Rick texted me at 6 a.m. this morning. You're laughing because you know he does those things. And normally I could just ignore it and leave it or read, but I'm here to minister. I'm here to serve. So yes, I am up. I'm up, yes. All right, let's continue on. All right, so I'm going to give you three ideas to help you hear the voice of God, and then we're going to pray. So everybody say, I can hear the voice of God. So the entry point to prophetic ministry is your ability to hear. How do you say what you say? How do you do what you do? I can hear God's voice pretty well, and I'm confident in that. Let me give you three ideas to help you get confident in that. Number one, hearing the voice of God is a birthright that Jesus paid for. Everybody say birthright. Did you know that scripture says that when you were Jesus, when he went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit as a down payment to our inheritance? Think about that. The Holy Spirit was given to us, the church, as a down payment for our inheritance. So if the Holy Spirit is a down payment for our inheritance, what does our inheritance look like? That's pretty serious. The church, we are living so below our potential, but the Holy Spirit is the down payment to our inheritance. It's not even our inheritance. And the Holy Spirit is amazing. When we begin to sing Holy Spirit, you're welcome. He was here. He came. That's just to get us moving. Birthright. Everybody say birthright. You see those beautiful kids up there? I made the mistake of conditioning them to taking them to the mall every other week. Jesus. Girls. Man, they didn't tell me about this part. So we'll go, and we go to Mrs. Fields, and Morova Mall, and I get them cookies, and other people will come on, and we practice generosity. You can have whatever you want. We share all that stuff as long as your behavior is right and all that. And we teach them to be generous with others. So there's a grown man. I want to come back. I'm not going to use the full word. He's a grown man, okay? My kids are here. They're getting cookies. They're generous. We teach them the spirit of generosity. They say, hey, Dada's getting us cookies. Do you want cookies? This brother, okay, I don't know if he was mad at God. This brother, he says, actually, yes, I do. I'll take a cinnamon sugar cookie. What do I do with that? My kids are watching. We're talking about generosity, okay? So he gets his cookie, okay? And he ate it in Jesus' name, and he went on his merry way. I just looked at him. I was like, shame on you. But I digress. So we continue around the mall. And there's this thing in Morovo called the bubble. Anybody know what bubble tea is? Bubble tea or whatever. So there's cool, but then they have these like little, we call stuffed animals loveys. So they have this whole thing where there's like stuffed animals right there as they're buying stuff. They know what they're doing. So one daughter, she knows exactly when she grabs one. The other one has four. She's like, yay. So we begin to negotiate. You got to get one. Do you want this one? We get her down to one. And there's a line forming behind me, okay? And as they get their lovies, they look at everybody and say, Dada's getting us lovies. You want lovies? Now, these lovies cost $30 a pop. Ain't nobody else getting lovies, okay? Because I just bought cookies, right? But why do I say that? As my daughters, they feel as though my money is their money. They have no concept. They're starting to get the concept of money. And they have the concept of if Dada's generous to us, he's going to be generous to everybody, because as his daughter, he's my father, and he desires not to just give me good gifts, but everybody in the world good gifts. And I do, but I'm not there yet. They got to go to college. They got to get married. I got two weddings to pay for, right? Car, like, you know, but they have a birthright mentality. Well, listen, us as believers, we need to have the birthright mentality to expect to hear God's voice. It's not normal for Christians to not hear the voice of God. You are a son, you are a daughter. You should be able to hear God's voice. Let me get to number two real quick here. Learning to hear the voice of God is a skill that can be developed. Everybody say a skill. Skill. Aaron, right? That's your name? Aaron's a great worship leader, okay? But listen, how many know Aaron does not sound like Beyonce? No shade. I'm sorry. You're close, you know. Right? Aaron doesn't sound like Beyonce. He doesn't sound like Luther Vandross. He doesn't sound like Stevie Wonder. He doesn't sound like Aretha Franklin. He doesn't sound like Blake Shelton. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't sound like your favorite singer, right? Aaron sounds like Aaron. But here's a really cool thing. Aaron has a skill to lead us into worship. If Blake Shelton was up here, I don't know if the Holy Spirit would come into the room. If Beyonce was up here, I'm pretty sure, let me stop. Because worship leading is a skill that can be developed. Well, hearing God's voice is a skill that can be developed. I'm no different than you. I just figured out some ways to figure it out, right? And my job as a prophet, believe it or not, if you want to know if somebody's a real prophet, your ability to hear God's voice should go up, not even just through a prophetic word, but a fact of the ministry that's put forth. My job is to help you hear God's voice more clearly. It's a skill. Number three, and we're going to finally pray for some people. The easiest formula is intimacy equals frequency. Everybody say intimacy. Equals frequency. If you can't tell by now, I am a fully recovered introvert, believe it or not. But when I was younger, I was very mischievous, or my mother would say I was busy, okay? And we were at the retirement home for animals, AKA the Pittsburgh Zoo. You know, you can see the lion's ribs, the bears are always sleepy, the giraffes are like 5 feet small. It's just crazy. But we're there. And when you first come in the zoo on the left, when I was a kid, there was this enclosure. It was a snow leopard enclosure. Anybody remember the snow leopard enclosure? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. So I decided, Doug, that the snow leopard wanted to be my friend, and he wanted to have a play date. So as we were going through the rest of the zoo, I made the decision on my own to go visit him, but I forgot to tell my mom. I didn't tell my mom. I actually just didn't tell my mom because I knew she wouldn't want me to go see the snow leopard again. So I left her. Now, I have heard the audible voice of God 3 times in my life, and this was the first one. It sounded like my mother. As I'm getting closer to this enclosure in the middle of hot Pittsburgh in the summer, crowded zoo, elephant dung at all high, all-time high, I hear this screeching voice over the crowd. Justin, Lewis, Morrell, if you don't get your black, explicitive word, because I want to come back, over here, I'm going to beat the black off your, explicitive word, I want to come back, off of you. Now, mind you, that's not a good encouragement if you want your kid to come closer. But why do I tell that story? How is it that with distance, with crowd, with distractions, with a different focus, I can literally hear my mother's voice over the whole crowd? It's because of the intimacy. My mother's voice is one of the sweetest voices I've heard. Well, listen, the voice of God should be like that in your life, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, right? When you plant your church and then 6 months later it blows up, you need to be able to hear God's voice when you got twins to say, look, you're going to get through this. My faithfulness is pandemic proof. You're going to come out on the other side of this. What do you do when there's no money in the bank? And you got twins and you got formula. Jesus, I'm so glad we got off of a formula. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when your church is going crazy? What do you do when you're a prophet and somebody gives a prophetic word about an election and it doesn't come to pass? You got to be able to hear God's voice over all that noise for yourself. So everybody say intimacy equals frequency. How much time I got? Good. Give me an approximation so I can work the. I got 30 more minutes. What? This church is generous. I got 30 minutes. Who's willing to give me an extra 5 on top of that 30? Just raise your hand. All right, here we go. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Look, we're going to have a revival. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I ask God that as we get ready to minister to some people, that they would hear your voice. That the foundation has been laid, that we can have some fun together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Hey, real quick, if I can get a little, if you got some soaking music or somebody can come a little gently in the background, the team, just a little bit of something, something. I'm actually going to come down here. So this is how this is going to work. I'm going to just call out some people, and I'm going to have you either stand up or come down, and I want you to get your phone out. I want you to record this, and once again, I want you to record it. And I want you to listen to it outside of this moment again. I want you to write it down. I want you to transcribe it. Highlight your part in one color. Highlight God's part in another color. And then I want you to just pray about and submit it to leadership. All right? Cool. My sister right here, you were on the worship team. Stand on up. Are we recording this? We got a recorder running? Perfect. Awesome. Come on now. What's your first name?
Mackenzie.
All right, stretch your hand towards her. Just stay this way real quick. Here we go. Yeah. Father, I thank you so much for Mackenzie. Lord, I ask God that you would just be a blessing to her and her family in this season. Yeah. Lord, I thank you, God. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even begin to comprehend the things that you have for Mackenzie and her family. If the family's here, can you guys just come on up, please? If you're okay with that. You don't have to. You can stay there, sir. Or you can come on down. If you need to stay there, that's fine. But Father, I thank you so much for this family's faithfulness to you. Hey, listen, in worship, I heard the Lord say that there's time for promotion to come on your life. And the worship ministry was the entry point to a lifelong call of intercession and intercession for the things of the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord says that you're not suspicious, but you have a discerning spirit. And I break the word curse off of you that says you're just not hearing correctly. You're not seeing correctly. The Lord says, intercessor, 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 intercessor. And the Lord says, you're going to begin to pray in a different way than you've prayed before. And the Lord says, the enemy has actually worked overtime to psych you out, to try to second guess yourself, try to second guess if your ability to hear God's voice is legit. And the Lord says, not only is it legit, but it's accurate. Yeah. And there's a fresh anointing coming to your way and to your household in this season. And the Lord says, daughter, I've heard the cries at night. I've seen the sacrifices that you and your family have made for others. I've even seen when you've taken the high road when you could have taken the low road. And the Lord says, because you chose to put my will and my plans and my purposes first, I'm going to bless you. Scripture tells us that I believe it was Isaac or Jacob or Abraham, it was one of the guys in the generation. It says that they sowed in the year of famine and they reaped a hundredfold and God blessed them. So there's a reaping, my sister, but there's also a blessing that's coming. And this blessing is going to dramatically change your space, the grace of God in your life, and even your socioeconomic status. Because you and your spouse and your family, you actually do have the spirit of generosity. And there are times where you hear about people with a lot more resources not doing the right things with the resources. And your heart breaks, not because you're jealous, but your heart breaks because you see needs that could be met. And the Lord says, daughter, I'm going to give you audiences and insights and even strategies with people with money who don't know what to do with it. And the Lord says, you're going to help them figure out creative ways to give. It's going to be like a philanthropic giving strategy that's going to come out of your life. And the Lord says, not only will your household know no lack, but those who are your friends will know no lack. There's a scripture where it talks about how the box comes to Obed-Edom's house. And it says, while the box was there, that there was favor and everything in that household was blessed. The Lord says, not only is he blessing you, but he's blessing your husband, he's blessing your children, he's blessing your house. So get ready for a fresh season of intercession. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord says you will report for duty as a soldier in the army of the Lord, and you will get your orders for the day. And you'll submit things to your husband, and your husband will say, you know what? The Lord was talking to me about the same thing. And that's what I heard the Lord say. He says he's even recalibrating your marriage. Yeah. It's like I see you guys on the dance floor, and like you're dancing together, but you're not in sync. It's nothing wrong. It's just life happens. And the Lord says, I'm recalibrating your marriage because your husband is just as much as a part of this as you are. And it will be a team effort, sir. It will be a team effort. It will be a team effort. And the Lord says, not only will she go, but you will go with her. And there will be times you will go and she'll have to sit back. It's like a tag team, a tag team, a tag team, a tag team. And the Lord says, get ready to step in to this new season. Just stretch your hands towards them. Father, I thank you so much for my sister. I thank you so much for this family. I thank you so much for their lives. We bless them today, and we thank you that we get to be a part of your story. In Jesus' name, and if you agree, say amen and amen, and let's give God some praise for that. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Get my notes. So for those of you who was wondering what I was doing, I wasn't being rude. I was taking notes. You, sir, in the back, all the way in the back, you. No, you, the one you looked at him, All the way in the back. I love it when I say all the way in the back and they're in the back and they're like, me? Yes, you. Can you stand up, please? You. Yes, sir. Is that your spouse? You both come on down real quick. What's your first names for the recording? Ed and Jen. Ed and Jen. Give them a hand as they come. Can you guys just hold hands real quick? Ed? Awesome. Let me touch your hand real quick. Just put your arm around them. Hey, Ed, earlier I heard the Lord say that justice is coming into your life. Justice, 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 and more 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 justice. And it's like I heard the Lord say, you're like the woman in the scripture where she kept going to the judge, and the judge finally said, you know what? He put the gavel down and ruled in her favor. And I don't know you. I don't know what's going on. But I heard the Lord say that the injustices over the last 15 years, he's about to flip it and do a 180. He's about to flip it and do a 180. He's about to flip it and do a 180. And this justice that's going to come in your life is going to be full restoration of the things that you thought were lost, things that you even said to God. You know what, God? I've made up in my mind to move better. I choose to be better and not bitter. And the Lord says, the moment you said I choose to be better and not bitter and you forgave and you released, he says, that's the moment I begin to do Romans 8:28, where I cause all things, son, to work together for the good of those who love me and who are called according to my purpose. And when I restore, I don't just restore what was lost, but I add some to it, because when the thief is found, he must repay sevenfold, 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 sevenfold. And this restoration is not going to just be a financial restoration, but it's going to be restoration in dignity. It's going to be restoration in confidence. It's going to be restoration in reputation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, I see you taking one for the team, keeping your mouth shut, serving because you knew that it was the battle of the Lord and not yours. And he says, son, I didn't forget about you. There even going to be such a restoration, you're going to say, I forgot about that part. I forgot about that part, because you've worked really hard to get on the other side of it. So he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You passed the test. And I heard the Lord say, you get an A+. And it wasn't that you were perfect, but you were committed to his plan and his purposes. And even when you dropped the ball through the process, the Lord says, he caught it for you. So, Father, just stretch your hands towards this amazing man of God. Father, I thank you, God, that this is a man of God. I just heard the Lord say, just to call you that publicly, that you are a man of God, and he's got your back. And as you go into 2024, he's going to make it all sweet again. Even the holiday season, says the Lord, this holiday season, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. I'm seeing people come back to the table. I'm seeing restoration and reconciliation happen in your life. Because the Lord says, when I restore, I don't just give you back what you're missing, but I add to it. So, Father, we bless this man. We bless his household. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. So some of you are like, how do you do that? I don't know. I don't know what, I didn't know, I don't know him. I don't know her. I don't know them. Have we met before? Right? So God will give me something to start with, and I just go with it. I just got to get over myself, right? I took my mom to the airport at 4 o'clock this morning. I can be tired, right? So it's not about your emotions. You have to do it by faith. Because anytime a prophet opens his mouth, he put his ministry on the line. Because listen, if that was bad and that was bad, the next person that comes over like, I'm good. You can keep that, right? It's all about trusting the Lord. It's all about faith and allowing him to do things. Doug, can you and your wife stand up, please? All right. Yeah, so I heard the Lord told me to do this, just to draw a line in the sand. And I heard the Lord say, son, this is truly the season where you need to make up your mind if you're going to cross the line into full-time ministry or not. And you and your wife have already been debating about it, and that's why I didn't talk to you 2 months. I wasn't trying to be rude. The Lord told me to pray for you. But it's time for you to figure out if you're going to cross the line or not. And the Lord says that this pressure, or this unperceived pressure for you to do his thing, is not of him. And the Lord says that he has given you not a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I'm going to just say something to you. I learned this. The Lord says that he would give us the comforter, but you don't need the comforter if you're comfortable. And the reason why things have kind of feel like they've kind of plateaued and not really worked the way that you think they should work is because you're in a comfortable place and the Lord is inviting you to cross the line. So I have more for you, but you have to prophetically step across the line first so we can get to that next part. So do you guys want to step across that line? All right, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. So the Lord says your testimony will be just like that. This is funny. I've never said this before. Just like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He didn't look like one of the other reindeers. He didn't fit. He didn't mold or claws. But the Lord says he's going to highlight you. You're the one he's chose for this season and this time. Stop comparing yourself to other people who have the pedigrees and the backgrounds and the expertise. The Lord says, your yes is good enough. Your yes is good enough. Your yes is good enough. So when the doors open and the opportunities come, don't figure it out. Just say yes and then figure it out. And oh, daughter, you are very much a part of this. You've been praying for this for a long time. You've actually known before he knew. And the Lord says, today I answer your prayers. Because he didn't just step across the line. You both stepped across the line. And the Lord says, get closer to leadership. Serve the leadership in this house at a completely different level. Because what you serve, you become. And I heard the Lord say, he's even going to give you, my sister, the insight on how to create fresh, relevant content that's going to communicate the kingdom and gospel message to this generation and the next. Because it's not that you don't love the things of God. You just wonder. You're like, man, this stuff is great. But what about everybody else that don't look like us, that don't think like us, that don't sound like us? And the Lord says that's a missional and evangelistic call that the Lord has put on both of you. He's actually called you both to be gatherers, 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 gatherers. And the favor of God is going to go before you. And the Lord says, even financially, you're going to see his provision in a completely different way. I even see you both a year or two from now looking at your budget, looking at your finances. You're going to say, it didn't make sense before all of this. It really don't make sense now, because the Lord says the days of check to check, the days of just making it, the days of just thrive, just surviving are over. That he's not called you guys to be survivors, but he's actually called you guys to be thrivers. And the Lord says he's even going to help you help other young couples figure out their next few steps. Yeah. And I know in the natural, I'm just going to go here. And I could be wrong, so that's why you gotta submit it to leadership. But the phrase that everybody keeps saying around here, I heard it out of a few people, there's like, he's kinda like the assistant pastor. And the Lord says, when he sets you apart, you already have done the work. So just say yes to the invitation when it comes. Don't worry about all that other stuff. Just say yes. Pastor Rick didn't tell me to give you this message, or Pastor Gary. The Lord says that ministry is for both of you, and you're going to be an asset. You're going to be a gift to not to this just this house, but to the body of Christ at large. Let me pray for both of you. Father, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister. I thank you for their yes. I thank you that they have publicly crossed the line in front of their whole church. So whatever the process is, whatever conversations he needs to have, just say yes. I'm gonna tell you something real quick. So when I got into ministry, they said, we wanted you to be the youth minister in training. I said, what does that look like? They said, we don't know. We're gonna make that up as we go along. And then the pastor slid this napkin across the table at Eaton Park, and I opened it up. It had $15,000 for the whole year on it. And they said, we're gonna pay you out of the janitor's salary. And before I could use urban tongues, I'm speaking a few tongues, okay? Before I could use the urban tongues, the Holy Spirit said, be quiet, and if you do this, you'll be out of debt by 30. I was out of debt by 30. So it's not about the money. Don't worry about the money. It's the yes, and God's gonna take care of you. Let's give God praise for this couple. All right. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. never said that before. Cross the line. You and your whole family. That's for Doug. It's all written right here on my iPad in Evernote. Twins, parents of twins, come on down. You already told me who your dad is. I was like, I wish you wouldn't have did that. It's going to make my job just a little bit harder. It's Joel and Faith. Faith. All right, awesome. Cool. Hey, man, let me make sure I do this right. Okay, missional. Okay, cool. Hey, so I heard the Lord say he's about to open up nations, and more nations to you and your family in this season. And there's a significant missional call on your life where you're going to take the ministry and you're going to invest it into the nations, and you're going to receive a return of investments in the nations. I don't know you. I don't know what you do. I don't know anything about you. But the Lord says there's going to be an analytical, financial, fiscal skill set that you're actually going to translate into missions that's going to get the missions explosion that's supposed to come from this house, from this ministry out. And it's not just campuses locally, but there's an international expression of Bridge City that the Lord wants to see happen. And the Lord says, get ready. And he's going to pay the bills. He's going to give you the finances. He's going to give you the provision. And I heard the Lord say, you're even going to come into a situation where it's like money is just going to fall into your life. Remember me when this happens. But money is going to fall into your lap. And you will be like Solomon in his young age, says the Lord, that when he came into position, he asked the Lord for wisdom. And the Lord says, supernatural wisdom is coming into your life. Because you won't be a traditional missionary, but you will be a missional leader, a missional architect, a missional thought leader, if you will, a missional influencer. I even heard the Lord say, Midas touch, Joel, that the reason why there's a dichotomy of what you put your hands to and what you don't is because the enemy's been trying to get you to, just like my sister, second guess yourself. And as I said that, I got a picture of you on a baseball mound, and I saw you pitching, and I saw a whole bunch of different types of pitches, and every time you pitched, the ball caught fire. So I said, Lord, what is that? That's a representation of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, no matter what type of pitch, whether it be the slider, whether it be the fastball, or whether it be the curveball, whatever pitch you send, it's going to be Holy Spirit breathe. And it's going to hit the strike zone. And people are going to say, when he pitches, it's like I can't hit what he's pitching. And that's the enemy. He's not going to know how to deal with you, because every time, he's going to give you different strategies on how to pitch different things. And it's not just mission. The church itself is missional. So this is an organizational thing. It's not just missions in general, but it's a missional pitch. And I even heard the Lord say, even now, I'm going to unlock your mind and cause structure and order like a Rubik's Cube. I'm seeing the reds with the reds and the blues with the blues and the greens with the greens. And it's not that you got a messy mind or anything, but he's just about to clear up some things. It's like he's drawing things in order, and he's going to help you in this season. And my sister, I heard the Lord say, motherhood will not hinder your ability to minister. I should have gave my wife this word, Jesus. All jokes aside, it's not going to hinder your ability to minister, but it's actually going to be one of your greatest aspects. And what I see happening is, I don't just see your kids growing up around you, pulling at you, but I'm seeing a whole bunch of kids. And that's not like, that's normally people are like, well, that's because she's supposed to be in children's ministry. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I'm seeing a motherly gathering on your life, not just because you had kids, but because there's a call for you to look at men and women of God, specifically young men and women of God who have been underdeveloped, and call out destiny, call out purpose, create structure, and create an atmosphere of health. It's like your life is going to be like an orphanage for the spiritual sons and daughters who need to be adopted. And in this season, the Lord is even going to begin to download you, not just the lessons that you're learning in motherhood, but they're going to translate into ministry ideas and ministry things, because there's a generation that's coming up that needs a mom and a dad, but they really need moms. Yeah. And what I'm seeing happening is, just listen to me. I don't know how many kids you got. I know you got at least two, so I know how that goes. I've been living it. You'll make it, okay? You will make it. But I'm literally seeing you guys' testimonies like, we just got so many kids. And they're going to be spiritual kids. And set your lives up. I'm seeing a big old house. I'm seeing a house of respite for people to come who are broken and who are crushed. And the Lord says the house that he wants you to actually get and develop is going to be a place where people can come in and come out and get healed and restored. And sometimes it won't even be you guys speaking to them. It'll just be a safe place for them to rest. You won't even say anything to them. They'll just come over and they'll just sit there and they'll rest. And the Lord says it's going to be like a spiritual triage where you check people's vitals, and they're going to come in and they're going to leave your house differently. Stretch your hands towards them. Father, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for this season, but I also thank you for the next season. Lord, I thank you, God, that we have a missional architect in our mix and a mother to so many people in the next generation. Lord, I bless them today with the blessing of the Lord that makes them rich and adds no sorrow. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Everybody good? So the other thing about prophetic ministry is you get an opportunity to practice. What do you mean practice, Pastor? Well, I've been doing this thing recently called a shopping list. And the Lord will be speaking to me about different things in the ministry. And they seem like they're random, but they're like markers for who I'm supposed to pray for next. So it's pretty about 80% accurate, I think. Does a red Volkswagen Beetle mean anything to anybody in here? Red Volkswagen Beetle. Why are you laughing? Come on down. There it is. It was old school. I mean, I'm not that good. It's funny, I was at a church in Erie and I was doing this, and the Lord gave me a yellow canary Chevy truck, and the guy was just sitting there like, and I was like, what's the matter? He was like, I just posted it on Facebook today to sell it. I was like, are we friends on Facebook? He was like, no, how did you know? Did my pastor tell you? I was like, no, Jesus told me. Stretch your hands towards her. What's your first name? Donna, awesome. I don't even know what I'm gonna say. Father, I thank you for Donna. I thank you, God, and you wanna say something to her. So Lord, we step out in faith, we go a little bit deeper and we lean on the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that Donna is coming into a season where it's all going to make sense. Hey Donna, as I put my hand on your shoulder, I got this picture of like it's kind of like an accordion, and it's just been stretched to the point where it's being stretched and you're like, I think this is about to break, but then it gets stretched a little bit more. And the Lord says you've been in a season where you felt like you've been at your breaking point, and then he stretched you a little bit more. And the reason why he's done that, Donna, is because once you're stretched beyond your original capacity, you'll never be the same. But so there's a stretching, and then there's a release of the stretching. And I saw the hands of the Holy Spirit coming. I saw them just squeeze that accordion. And in that, I saw these notes, these musical notes, and these notes had like color around them. So that says favor. So the Lord says in this season that the sound that comes out of your life, the songs that come out of your life, the words that come out of your life will not just be beautiful, but they're actually going to have the favor of God on it. And as I said that I saw an ear and I saw your voice being amplified. And the Lord says there have been people that you've been speaking to, speaking life to, giving godly counsel and wisdom to, and they just haven't been listening. It's like, are you deaf? Do you hear what it is I'm saying? And the Lord says no, but he says, I'm about to open up some ears to some family members and some ears to some colleagues and people in your circle, because you've seen destruction ahead of them and you've warned them, but they weren't listening. But the Lord says he's about to cause circumstances to occur where they're going to have to listen. Man, listen, I'm just going to go there. I just saw like a male figure kind of like on the road to Damascus like Saul, and I literally just saw this figure like kind of just being like boxed in. And they were forced to listen to the voice of God. And I don't know what that means. I could be absolutely wrong, but you might know what that means. But the Lord says this person, he's creating circumstances where they're going to have to sit down for a while. And they're going to have to reevaluate some things. And when this person, they're not, you know, we want to say they did a 360. That's not right. They're going to do a 180. They're going to go a complete opposite direction in the direction that they're going in. And they're going to come back. And I heard the Lord say, receive them. Restore them and bless them. It's like, I know we say this, I know the story. It says, when the prodigal son returned, the father saw him from far off and he began to run towards him. Well, I just saw you as the mother in that situation, running towards this child, running towards these people that are coming back. And the Lord says, you're going to restore people with dignity and grace in this season. Because he hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about the prayers. And he wanted to remind you that he hears you so much that he would pick you out of this whole room with a red Volkswagen Beetle. So, Father, I thank you for your daughter, and I bless her, and we release this into her life today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Awesome. Was that good? Okay, cool. Somebody's like, is there Powerball numbers on there? Nope. Anybody, Austin, Texas mean anything to anybody? Austin, Texas? I could be wrong. Austin, Texas. Going once. Going twice. Recently? Okay. You want to get her on the phone or him or her? Let's see if we can get him. Huh? Just call and see what happens. Just see. She'll be like, girl, I didn't go to church today. And I'm like, yep, because God wants to talk to you. All right. Does anybody work in the field of physics? Any form of physics? Scientific? I love it when people look around. This always happens. One of these, it'll be somebody in the room, and they're like, I mean, I do work at Carnegie Mellon University. I'm like, you should have came up during the meeting, you know? But I could be wrong. It's okay. This is why you practice. Is anybody a restaurant owner or about to start a restaurant in here? This could also be for tonight. I'm going to use the same, well, not the stuff that's not on the list. I'm going to add to it this afternoon. Okay, cool. Anybody just moved within the area in the last 30 days? You, come on down. Did you get her? Did you get her? She didn't answer. Are you coming to the prophetic meeting tonight? If you come, call her. We'll pray for her right then and there. Is that cool? Awesome. What's your first name, young man?
Bryce.
Awesome. Nice to meet you. Let's keep it right there.
Record this or?
You should record this. You got memo? Just use memo. It works better. And you can enhance it later on. All right. Cool. Let's sit right there. Just stretch your hands towards him. Father, I thank you for Bryce. I thank you, God, that when he moved here within the last 30 days, he didn't realize that this was going to happen. So, Lord, we're both going to just step out in faith, and hopefully this is good and he doesn't cancel me. You can laugh at that. You can have fun in the ministry, okay? Yeah, Bryce, so I heard the Lord say, you're like a Jacob on the run. And it's like as you rest, you're going to see heavens open up, and you're going to see the ladder of the Lord go into heaven and the angels descending and ascending. And you're going to say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And you've been questioning if Pittsburgh was the right move for you. And the answer is yes, 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 yes. And the Lord says that when you return home in future seasons, you will have the testimony of many players who were drafted on the team as rookies, and they come back. They say, when I was here, I was a boy, but now that I'm back, I'm a man. And the Lord says, this is a season of full-grown manhood in your life. He's going to accelerate you. He's going to make you grow, and there are going to be people back in your hometown. They're going to see you, and they're going to say, that's not Bryce. That's a man. Yeah. And he's going to do some things. He's going to do some things, one, in your education. He's going to take you to the next level. Number two, he's going to do some things in your finances. He's going to take you to the next level. Number three, he's going to take you to the next level in your leadership. Because I heard the Lord say that there's a significant leadership call on your life. And get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready for opportunities and doors to fly open. And you'll be in places with the favor of God that's going to put you on the accelerated path to leadership. The accelerated path to leadership. And people are going to say, how did you do all of this in your young age? How did you do all this in your young age? It'll be the hand of God. It'll be the hand of God. It'll be the hand of God. There's scripture that says you will feel like the Spirit of God is blowing behind you, telling you to go this way and that way, telling you to go this way and that way. And the Lord says he's going to be your supernatural GPS and compass in this season. And you're going to wake early, 4, 5 o'clock, and you're going to say, Lord, what is it that you have me for me today? It's like Eleazar, I think that's his name, where he went out to look for a wife. And he says, Lord, grant me success today. That will be the prayer over your life. Scripture says that you will be enriched in every way, that you could be generous on every occasion. And it says, son, I want you to be a true lender, a true lender, a true lender. I said, Lord, what does that mean? He says, you're not just going to tap into abilities to create wealth. You're literally going to be like a bank. I'm seeing the bank of Bryce. And if this happens, please remember me. I don't know who you are, what you do, but the Lord says he's going to give you some really cool ideas in the finance arena, in the tech arena, where you're going to do some things creatively. I don't know what you do, but you're going to engineer some things. You're going to create things. You're going to create some things where you're going to be able to do a lot of good for the kingdom of God. There was a phrase back in the day that says, you should be nice to a geek because one day you're going to work for him. And I heard the Lord say he's gifted you intellectually the way he has because a lot of people are going to work for you one day. And that's why he wants to teach you how to be a good leader in your young days. Because I see a day where you're going to have 40, 50, 100 employees working for you. And the Lord says you're going to need the skill set of leadership. So get ready, get an opportunity to serve. Look for the opportunity to serve and do what it is that he's called you to do in this season. Father, I thank you for this young man. I ask that you protect him, protect his way. Lord, I ask that you would go before him and make the crooked path straight, and you would bless him and release him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How'd I do? Cool. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So why are you here? What brought you to Pittsburgh?
Well, I moved within Pittsburgh.
Okay. Okay.
Tomorrow.
Well, you're definitely going to need that money. Awesome. Hold on. Okay, we can talk later. Not right now. We're getting ready to wrap up the service, okay? Can we talk afterwards? Okay. Well, that's actually the last thing I'm actually going to do. I'm going to pray for the sick. It's on the list. But you're good. All right, so we're going to wrap it up, but one thing I want to do is I want to pray for the sick, but I want to, what we're going to do is we're going to end the service officially, and then we're going to stick around and just do some, like, praying for the sick stuff, people, and that's it. So here you go.
Yeah, we'll keep this rolling with Pastor Justin. He's going to stick around. He's going to stay up here. So if you have any prayer needs or anything like that, he'll be up here. But we do want to call the usher team forward right now. And we're blessed to have Pastor Justin with us today. So we are going to receive a special offering that will go directly to Pastor Justin and his ministry. So as the usher team comes forward, again, you can still give on the kiosk. We can notate that for Pastor Justin. But man, I know that everyone that has gotten a word has been blessed by Pastor Justin. We're so thankful. And again, we do have the prophetic night this evening at North Braddock campus. It starts at 6:30. Pastor Justin will be there. So please, it's open to everyone to come out at the North Braddock campus. So maybe if you didn't receive prayer today, maybe you'll receive prayer at the North Braddock campus from Pastor Justin. And also Charlie Sweet will be there as well. So again, we're blessed. So let's just pray a blessing over Pastor Justin and his ministry. Lord God, we thank you for Pastor Justin and what he's doing here today, Lord God, and what he does in his work for your kingdom, Lord God. Lord, we ask blessing and favor upon his ministry, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you would use him in mighty ways for the kingdom's growth, Lord God. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. And at this point, you are dismissed. If you have kids downstairs, you can go pick them up. But you are dismissed. But Pastor Justin will stick around if you have any prayer needs or you'd like to speak with him. All right? Have a good week. We'll see y'all next week.
God bless you. You guys are released if you want to go. All right, we're going to do some prayer ministry real quick. So first thing I want to do as they're leaving, if there's anybody with any incurable disease, my sister just talked about her cancer diagnosis. I just want you to stand where you are. Stand where you are and just wave your hand. As if you have something incurable, that's not curable. All right, so we got hands up. So this Christianity is not a spectator sport, right? All hands on deck. So after the usher gets finished collecting the monies, we need some people up here to pray for Doug. What's your first name again, sir?
Wayne.
For Wayne, we need some people to pray for Wayne. And my sister, what's your name? Dolores. So we need some people to pray for Dolores. So let's huddle up. Let's get with them. Let's get with them. I believe that God is still a God of healing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So we're going to pray for them. So Wayne needs some prayer partners. Dolores needs some prayer partners. The Bible says that you will lay